Hey guys, welcome to the Decentralized Podcast, where we bring you the latest news, information, education on Bitcoin, blockchain, and cryptocurrencies. I'm here with Kosh as usual, and on today's episode, we've got Cryptopia.
Yes, we caught up with these guys at the APAC Blockchain Conference in Melbourne a couple of weeks ago. They were there with their new CEO, who's been in the industry a couple of weeks now. Interesting development right there. So they're doing a couple of things with the platform to bring it up to speed and really compete in the industry.
Yeah, and that's because of the adoption that happened last year. Nobody expected it. And a lot of these exchanges started off as small little side projects and then blew out of proportion last year. And I know there's a lot of users out there that have been on Cryptopia and have had problems with withdrawing money and things like that. And it's interesting to actually meet with a team behind the scenes who are doing things to rectify it. And I think for all of those who want to know more, who have been on Cryptopia, have been doing anything there, this will be a great episode to watch. Absolutely. So guys, enjoy the show.
Enjoy.
And we'll talk to you afterwards.
Decentralized. We're joined here by the team from Cryptopia. I've got Adam.
Alan?
Adam and Alan. Alan's the CEO, and Adam?
Business Development Manager.
Okay, perfect. Now, I just wanted to know a little bit about you guys and how you came to be a part of Cryptopia and the Cryptopia story, if you don't mind.
Sure, I can kick off. I've been around for a little bit longer than Alan. So one of the founders was actually working for me and as late as about 2016. He's also working on a side project called Cryptopia, which has been around since about 2014. And at a certain point, he came to us and said, look, guys, things are starting to get quite busy, and we said, fine, that's okay, you can take some time, go and work on Cryptopia, and if you need some help, we'll come in and we'll help you grow the business. And the joke was at the time that in a year's time we'd all be working for Adam, and in some way that's actually what came to pass.
Wow, yeah, that's great.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, these things evolved and these young people started this business in earnest, probably doing something quite different from they're doing now. It evolved and it grew. And as things grow, they take on a life of their own. And as it's evolved, they've needed new skills. So, of course, I'm the old wise guy from outside the industry. I'm very experienced here. I've been in this job for 2 weeks and 2 days. And I'm also very experienced in the crypto space. I've been in the space for 2 weeks and 2 days. But I have vast experience internationally with growing businesses that are hard to manage, raising finance, floating companies, and all the things that fast-growing small companies need. So they don't need me to tell them how to run a crypto business. That's what they do. You don't need a CEO coming in, interrupting the flow and the essence of what a business is. You need someone coming in to bring new experience and tell you how to refine your process and get your HR right and get the business momentum working and to set the ship heading where you want it to go. I always set the scene by suggesting that, look, every business needs a leader, but the leader should be that and be clear about what he's doing. So my job in the ship is to take it from this port to that port, and like any captain, he might say, I want to go faster, and he will know downstairs there is somebody that knows how to put coal on the fire. But it's not my job to go down there and do that, or to tell them how to do it. So what a young business needs when they're at the stage is the confidence that they can grow, the confidence that they've got all the support they need, be it technical skills, they've got those, so legal, finance, and growth opportunity. And then you let people find their own space. Give them some rules, which they can't actually do before you get a leader in place, because they're all doing the leadership role as well as doing the work. So they don't have time to step back and evaluate what they're good at because they're so busy. So you put someone in place and you say, I'll be the leader, bring your problems here, and I'll let you go and do what you're good at again, which is being creative. And if people can go back to being creative, once they've created their monster, they then get the thing moving again. And really, that's what a CEO's role is, in my opinion. Yeah. And that's where we are.
Oh, so. And it's been a delight having Alan on board. Just, you know, like a lot of exchanges, we've gone through absolutely explosive growth, and that brings a lot of pressure, a lot of challenges. Running a transition from you know, really being a counterculture startup into a fully fledged professional fintech business, that takes time and a lot of work. And having steady hands on board and having the kind of experience that Alan brings is going to be really useful to us. So we're starting to see that already, even though it's only been a few weeks.
So I guess that's testament to the growth at Cryptopia that you guys have needed to bring someone like Alan on board, who can really grow the business to the next level, I suppose, and look after that growth. Where do you see Cryptopia heading in the future? What's the game plan?
Look, it has a number of things to do first. The future's always the light at the end of the tunnel way down there. The immediate future for us is to actually address problems that all platforms have probably experienced just recently, and that's about their explosive growth. And they've probably, nearly everyone in this space has outgrown their competence and their capability to deliver. So we have to just step back a wee bit, and I know that's a little bit disheartening for some of our clients, because we have taken so many, well, we didn't take them on, it just happened. And that creates a huge burden on our technology and the software and the platform that was never designed to do this. It was designed down here. Nearly a hobby back then. You know, most of them were like this. Only the very latest ones were started as businesses to be businesses. But they've changed dramatically. So our job right now is to fix all of our hardware and software infrastructure, and we're getting through that very quickly. So within probably 2 or 3 months, we'll have some new tools in place, new software, new rules of engagement for the way that even within the company we work with each other. And once we've got all that fixed, we'll be going out to the market and saying, here's a better user interface, here's better support, so that when you get onto us, and we have to be clear that because it's a new industry, some of the people that are engaging with us and require support actually are very new and have no idea how to engage in cryptocurrencies. So, you know, a small number, but a significant number of our support inquiries could be people that have just done something wrong. But it's interpreted as, it's just more noise to us. We have to deal with it. So if you take all those away and you deal with the other problems, what we'll start understanding is how to triage and how to manage that support. So support is our biggest issue. Once we fix that, we'll start doing the growth things that we need to do, which is get out there in the world and take it on. We want to be one of the top tier companies of our sort on the planet, and there's no reason we can't do that, because we want to offer a really safe and valuable experience for everybody who wants to engage. And that's just not the big players, it's everyone from the top to the bottom. That'll take us a wee while to do that, but that's our focus and our target. That's what we're looking for.
And what that ultimately looks like is better support levels through our clients, so we're more responsive, we're getting on top of that, better delivery of our core service, and a better service to our listings clients as well, who are really important to us.
So you said that support is your biggest issue at the moment. Is that correct?
Yep, it pretty much is, because of the great influx of new traders. And new traders are people that aren't familiar with the terminology, the technology, the interface. They actually don't even know what they're doing in a lot of places technically. They've seen a coin
advertised. Early majority, as opposed to early adopters, who are probably more technically clued up and more forgiving. So when you saw that huge growth spike in that, you know, September through January period, we're seeing a lot of enthusiastic, potentially more naive users, and they expect the kind of levels of service and stability that they would get, say, from a very established bank. And it's a new industry, it's a developing industry, and you know, quite frankly, when you're listing 600, 700 coins, it's very hard to deliver that level of service right now as it stands for every one of those coins. We're working on it, but it's going to take time.
What was our growth rate in last quarter? 940%, I believe.
Kate's got the numbers over there, Kate. 1,000%, there we go.
1,000% in the last quarter. So when you've got growth of that precedence and it goes very quickly, there's actually no way of scaling that fast. So the biggest problem you're going to have actually is support. It's not all your problems, and if you can't fix support, it impacts you the most, because it's a direct impact on your customer, the person you're trying to treat well. And so we have a great deal of work to do, and our marketing and PR people do a great job of saying, I know we haven't helped you, we're behind the eight ball, but you've got to trust that we're doing everything we can to make sure we do help you. It just takes a little longer.
So on that, saying you have 600 to 700 coins, are you thinking of doing a coin cull at some point and cleaning that up? Or what's the challenges with having so many coins?
I think we've reached the point where we need to start to consider, you know, where you've got coins out there that are no longer actively traded. They don't have a community behind them, and this is the natural part of the life cycle of some coins that we are formalizing some of our delisting procedures and how we manage that. But that'll be in a very managed way, very transparent and open process that we'll be implementing there. And to be honest, a few of the coins there, if they're not traded, they're generally not a problem. They're just sitting there.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I suppose that opens up some risk having so many coins on your platform as well, from your point of view, because if one of the wallets that you guys are using for that particular project is insecure and that gets hacked, then I guess that could look bad on Cryptopia as well, and people could go around saying Cryptopia got hacked.
Yeah. Well, our IT security is one of the core focuses of the business, so we're very careful about how we manage that and how we isolate our wallets from each other. So obviously I can't go into a lot of detail there, but it's one of the things we spend a lot of time working on.
Right.
In terms of how you manage what's in your hot wallets and what's in your cold wallets, we have a pretty well-defined process for doing that and how we split those funds and how we look after it.
Yeah, interesting. Can we jump in, Alex? Yeah.
First of all, I actually just want to say that, I've personally been a user of Cryptopia for ages, and, I've also been in business for almost 10 years and have been at times the subject of explosive growth in things that I've been working on, especially when I was younger. Like, I was one of the early guys in the solar industry back in Australia, and then when that exploded, it was the same thing. You go from designing simple solar systems for a couple people, around the place and all that sort of stuff, to every Tom, Dick and Harry wanting to have a panel installed on their house. It's a great problem to have, but what ends up happening is you don't have time to focus on running the business. You spend all your time on, trying to tell people, we're okay. Exactly. My respect now for Cryptopia has really gone up, just having seen you guys here and actually out talking to people and saying, look, we're not just going to sort of hide behind the veil and, shut the fuck up and try and do what we're doing. We're actually going to come and talk to people and say this is what we're doing, and that I think is a sign of a good company. And what you guys are doing with bringing Alan on board as well, I think is a sign of maturity as well. Whilst you can't lose those roots of what Cryptopia was formed on, I think that's important to keep. I think in order to give people what they want, which is responsiveness and support and all that sort of stuff, this rigor and this maturity needs to be put in place in order for that to happen. And I think that's great. It's more of a statement than a question on my part. Alan.
Thank you for that. One of the things that was a great challenge for me personally when taking the role was, clearly everyone today uses social media and LinkedIn. And I spoke to colleagues who are as mature as I am and probably a little bit wiser in some cases, and I said, well, it's about time I dumped this information on my social media crowd and LinkedIn. And nearly everyone said, are you kidding? You're going to get kidnapped. So I went out there and said to the world, okay, I'm the guy. And I have to say, I was inundated in the last 2 weeks with literally hundreds. I mean, 20 to 50 a day of people. First off, congratulations, but hey, you, what about my coin problem? And I knew that was going to happen. And look, I could close them down, I could just ignore them, but in every case, I'd go back to people and say, look, I actually can't help you. I know I'm here to help you, but I can't actually help you. I'm not an engineer. It's no good asking the CEO of a company that's embedded in frustration at the moment, trying to fix things, to interfere. I will hand your note on. You are in the system, and it's not a compelling argument right now, but we will get to you. And a lot of those people have come back and said, you know what, I just wanted to hear from you. And because we've been inundated, and when people get frustrated they submit multiple tickets, that actually makes it worse. It's not helping. So we might have multiple tickets from a single person with the same problem, and you might have multiple support staff looking at multiple tickets going, didn't we just help? And it's actually creating more of a problem. So look, I welcome the noise from the industry. People can write to me, and most of it's fairly vitriolic at the moment, and I'll say, I understand your frustration. That's the key. We're not hiding. That's why I'm here. We are here to fix it. I personally can't fix it for you, but I've got a great team and they will fix it. The real frustration is I can't make it go any faster than it is. But we're here to make that happen. And I'll stand up and support that view to anyone that comes to us. And, you know, there's some pretty tough stories out there. But if you can't do something, you can't. We've just, what we have to promise is that we're going to do the best we can. And we have to promise that we're going to be ethical. We are not a scam. We're not nicking your money. We're not running away. We're here.
Yep.
And so the, you know, the best wars are won by standing up in front of the enemy. And at the moment, the enemy is time and resources. So even if we want to employ 10 new support people or engineers a week in New Zealand, they're simply not there.
They don't
we
exist,
can employ
yeah.
them. They're just not there. They're nowhere. Yeah. So we get the people we can, and then it takes 2 or 3 weeks to train them, and then we need more resources. And all of this builds to it just takes us a little time. But trust me, we're not running away. We're going to be here, and we're going to save the day.
In the spirit of being here, did you want to just pass the viewers your phone number so they can give you a call?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
No.
Really well
checking.
Put. Really, yeah.
Thanks for that, buddy. That's right. You can have Kate.
All right. Yeah.
I wanted to talk, you guys are based in New Zealand, wanted to talk a little bit about the regulatory environment that's sort of hindering you or helping you over there. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what's the New Zealand government doing?
You can run away with that. You've had a little bit to do with it.
Yeah, it's been an ongoing conversation. We've actually been really pleased with the openness of the regulators and government in New Zealand, and that's one advantage, I think, of living in a small country, and that you do get that kind of access. So New Zealand, not only do we have that access, we can have a say in how policy is formulated, and also, of course, being from New Zealand, you know, we're known as a very safe, one of the highest ranked countries on as far as the lowest corruption index in New Zealand. So it's a good place to be. It's a good brand to promote. It's a good place to run a cryptocurrency business from for that reason. So the regulation is gradually becoming clearer. Means we think we can continue to operate and base our operation from New Zealand, which is great. As that evolves, we expect we'll be able to start building those core banking relationships as well. So we're starting to see, those conversations are taking time. We've had some challenges with our tokenized version of the New Zealand dollar, which we had in terms of losing some of our account facilities to support that, but given a few months, we expect we're going to be able to start rebuilding some of those relationships and hopefully relaunch that product.
Right. So can you tell us a little bit about what happened there and why your established banking relationships sort of dissolved?
I think it's a very genuine concern on behalf of from the banking partner we were working with there, in terms of not quite understanding the space, not quite being on top of how the flows of an exchange of values work, both within New Zealand and offshore. Not quite being sure where the AML, KYC AML compliance obligations fitted in with the crypto space, and really just needing a little bit of time to get on top of that. So what we're asking for from our banking partners is really just, sure, take the time, but just talk with us. Clarify what your needs are and concerns are, and we can actually build technology and processes to align with that so that we can reduce that perceived risk. We can deal with that, and so we're not posing a risk to you in terms of either regulatory or reputational risks. And we think we're pretty much there now. We've got some really good policies in place. We're building out some new KYC, AML, processes and tools within the site, and so we're hoping that on the back of that we're going to be able to establish some pretty solid long-term banking relationships. That's really important with where we want to go, because there's a lot of ICOs out there that are issuing tokens as a means of exchange within an ecosystem, and if you want to make those ecosystems available for consumer markets, they need fiat off-ramps and on-ramps. You're not necessarily talking to a large base of people who's that comfortable dealing purely in crypto.
Yeah. So how do you use, what framework are you using to get your KYC up to date? You're just using like what the bank's best practices are, that sort of thing?
Yeah, so we've got legislation in New Zealand which mandates some of what is required here, and we're going above and beyond that.
Okay.
In terms of what we need to do and introducing sort of good AML processes as well.
So I guess your exchange, I think it's a pretty low number of people who actually have identified themselves. Is that correct?
It is for our legacy code base, yeah. So that's going to change at some point. We're going to be asking many of our users to actually go through a more thorough form of KYC if they want to trade above certain limits.
Right, okay. But you'll always, or well, for the foreseeable future anyway, have an amount of whatever Bitcoin or whatever to be able to trade with and withdraw without...
We're hoping to maintain those thresholds. So that's one of the things that, you know, again, it's one of those things that's a little bit up in the air in terms of the regulators and the banking system, what those thresholds are, what's appropriate.
Okay.
So from my understanding, the KYC AML piece is more important for the fiat on-ramps and on-ramp component of the business, right? As opposed to being able to trade between crypto to crypto, is that sort of...
Yeah, I mean, I think the fiat component is very definitely covered by legislation. There is some doubt with the New Zealand context on whether crypto to crypto transactions are actually covered by that.
Yep.
We think that eventually they will be. Okay. So we're working on that assumption, and we're probably going to implement processes that treat crypto to crypto to some degree as the equivalent of fiat transactions. And that's trying to front foot our obligations in that case. But in terms of the banks, then, you know, they're mostly obviously exposed to the fiat side of things. So that's one of the bigger concerns, and that's certainly an area of focus for us first.
Yeah.
So if someone wants to transact with fiat, there is no minimum limit to the point where they need to do reasonably thorough KYC.
Okay, interesting. That answers my question there. So, because I mean, at the moment, from a functional standpoint, Cryptopia is really only crypto to crypto at the moment, right? There is no ability to put
within the New Zealand context. We created the NZDT market. So if you're probably familiar with the USDT Tether.
Tether, yep.
So we built the equivalent in New Zealand, and we're actually in the Kiwi market dealing with quite significant volumes. So the reason for that was it was the safest, most economic way to get into crypto and to get out of crypto in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
They only had to trust us, whereas, you know, peer-to-peer trading sites, obviously, they come with a lot of risks.
So New Zealand DT is only available on Cryptopia. That's something that you guys
NZDT,
developed.
NZDT, yeah. But it's a model we can potentially introduce in other areas as well, and we probably will. It's on the roadmap. So you might be seeing the AUDT sometime soon.
Okay, interesting. All right. Just slip that one in there. So is the NZDT just a one-for-one redemptive token? So if I'm holding 100...
Correct. Yeah. So if you've got one NZDT token, it's backed up by $1 in an audited New Zealand bank account.
Okay, cool. Interesting. All right. So it's kind of like real US dollar, but real New Zealand dollar, new project.
Yeah, and there's a lot
not
of power behind
it.
Yeah, and, you know,
we hope not.
it's really powerful tool.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
You know, if you can park value there, if you can transact in a non-volatile token where everyone understands what the actual value of it is, but you can also leverage the power of smart contracts and everything that blockchain offers. It's you know, it's the way things are going to go, and I think at some stage you're going to see the Reserve Bank stepping in and actually issuing currency in crypto form.
Yeah. Okay. Or maybe not in crypto form, but in a tokenized version of it. Yeah. Okay, cool. Kosh, did you have another?
Yeah, just on that, the fiat side of things, I've only used Cryptopia for crypto to crypto stuff. So how did that fiat component work? Did people actually deposited New Zealand dollars
Correct.
In your bank?
Yes.
You would give them a New Zealand NZDT token, which
Correct.
They then converted to BTC or whatever.
Yeah,
they
wanted. There was an NZDT base market where they could then convert that to Bitcoin or any or several other major currencies.
Right.
Once they had it in that form, they could trade to their heart's content, trade back into NZDT, and then do a withdrawal into their nominated bank account.
So it wasn't NZ dollars straight to Bitcoin. At any point?
No. So we weren't offering fixed rates directly in there. That's potentially a service we might do in future, but this was purely about creating an NZDT base market, and the price was fixed by market forces.
Right. So that's sort of like a simpler business plan, I guess, for the banks to understand, you would think. You're not really doing... Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. To me, it makes sense. Maybe to them, they're like, what's an NZDT?
It doesn't quite fit any of the existing models banks were used to, I think, is the challenge. And you were talking about tens of thousands of clients depositing fairly large sums of money in there. So, you know, honestly, from their perspective, I can understand why it's a concern. Yeah, and it's like a lot of you know, the banking stuff, you often fly under the radar when you're relatively small, and when you reach a certain size, obviously your risk profile goes up, and you know, and that's the challenge we faced. And so, you know, we're going back, and you know, so we've proven the concept. Let's go back and have the conversations and do it formally this time.
What about a token for the actual exchange itself? You know, other exchanges, Binance have got a token. What's the other one I'm thinking of? KuCoin, Binance. Are you guys thinking of doing something along those lines?
Already, there's an internal coin that we use on Cryptopia for purchasing some of the services we offer called Dotcoin.
So what's that one called?
Dotcoin. Yeah, it was. I think Adam and Rob, the founders, I think they came up with it when they were visiting Kim.com's mansion up in Auckland. You may have heard of this guy, but So yeah, it was coined. Kim.coin was the original name. It's shortened to Dotcoin. So yeah,
little, that's cool.
Yeah. So that's
right. Is he still in New Zealand?
Is so far. Yeah, the US. Okay, the Yanks haven't managed to get their whole hands on him yet.
Okay. It's definitely an interesting character. Yeah. Have to get him on the show.
He'd probably like that.
Yeah. What does he think about what you guys are doing?
You'd have to ask him.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sure he loves it. Is there anything else you guys want to talk about, what you guys are doing? Anything, Alan, do you want to say?
Look, what we're doing is trying to develop a company that delivers real value services that people can see have been designed around what the new culture of cryptocurrencies are looking for. The issue with that is no one actually knows yet. It's so dynamic and it's changing daily that the vendors, that's the coin vendors, the developers, they are developing coins to serve a purpose in a market that exists today that may not exist in a few years as banking changes. We, as a trading platform, have actually got to keep up with all of those vendors and their requirements. And we've also got to be looking down the road a little bit to see how the consumers want to trade. Are they using coins as a store of value? Do they actually want to trade their coins for products? Does everyone want to say, I've got X number of wallets full of coins and I'd like to buy a Lamborghini, can I go and do that? And even though you can trade your cryptocurrency away into a fiat account and have money and go and do it, that's actually not the idea. Why would you do that? Why can't you simply take your coins and go and buy your weekly vegetables or pay for your power? And there will be a way soon of figuring that out. It's just another form of currency that we haven't quite worked out yet. You know, we used to trade cabbages and chickens for horseshoes, and you do that within a village environment. It's still a village environment. We're just moving from fiat to something that's probably more transactable over long spaces and quick timescales. So we're just part of the big machine, and the big machine is consumers' desires to get hold of this product. The big machine is also the creativity of all the developers and the blockchain developers and the coin developers. So really, we're sitting in the middle. There's nothing we can do to perpetuate the direction it goes in. What we're doing is riding the train along. And we have to look out the back and see what's been dropped off and make sure we fix those holes. That's what we're doing now. And we need to be looking down and saying, look, we're coming up into a tunnel. Let's turn a light on before we get there. And so that's about creativity, and that's about people like me getting up here and looking down and saying, have I got all the right people on the train? Do you all have the skills that are required? And then let you go and do that in a safe environment where we've got enough income to pay for those skills, we've got enough retained value to make sure that our customers have got their funds safe. So it's about transparency, and it's unusual for corporates in this space to be like that. Everyone's a little bit secretive because they've all got IP and they're all trying to get somewhere. So we're going to try and change that. We want to be completely transparent, other than our corporate IP, which you've got to hang on to. But we don't mind people figuring out who we are, where we're going, how big we're growing, and what we're planning to do as we get there. And it's about having smart people on board to support that all the way through. So look, there's no plan other than to work ethically, work fast, be on time with our promises, and not be the gunner guy. I'm going to do this, going to do that. Let's actually say, you know, we have a plan and we've delivered it. So we'll try and do that from now on. And it seems to be working.
Yeah. And I think, you know, a lot of what you're talking about is really a focus, I think, on really nailing our core product, getting that working really smoothly, really clean service to all our clients and our listing clients. If you're talking about the roadmap, yes, there's several exciting things, and yes, I'd love to come back and have a chat to you guys about that when we're ready to announce and start talking about that space that we're going into as well.
Last question. You just mentioned before about you sort of foresee a world where people are going to transact and buy their Lamborghinis or their, you know, Lettas or whatever.
Alan just tried to buy a Tesla yesterday with Bitcoin, but they wouldn't take it.
Yes.
Was it even your...
We went into a Tesla showroom.
Yeah.
And we went into a Tesla showroom, and there's a young chap there obviously willing to sell a car to a guy in a suit, and we said, yeah, we're really keen. Will you take Bitcoin? And he went, no, but Lamborghini do. I'm in a Tesla showroom. There's got to be a way you can go and figure this out. And,
Elon's reading about it now.
Yes, yeah. So there is an opportunity out there. Somebody will figure this out, you know.
It's hilarious that they thought, oh, a kind of suit. He's never going to... The last thing they would have been thinking is this guy's going to ask about crypto. That's interesting. But when did you have that epiphany? Was it when these guys approached you and talked to you about crypto and then you went, oh, okay, I see where this currency is going? Or did you have that, you know, tell us about that.
Well, I'm too old for epiphanies. They'll give me a heart attack and I'll be ill. It's something that's evolved over time. We find that as I've been trading internationally, people want to move swiftly. And the one problem with fiat as it exists today, there's nothing swift about banking. You know, I decide to pay that guy in that other country for something and I have to transact it here. It goes to my bank. We all know the story, and they take a bit, and then it goes to an intermediary and he takes a bit, and then it goes to the receiving bank and they take a bit. And in a week or two, I go, how's it going? He says, well, I haven't got the money. So we start again to figure out where it is, and it's just a giant mess. It's my money, for God's sake. And I think people just want transparency, and you can't get transparency not out of a particular bank, but out of the way that we manage our finances today. The way that we, if I want to give you money, now the quickest way is to do this. Now, if we can come up with a process that says, look, I want to give you my store of value, and it happens now at an agreed rate, and it's there and it's transparent, why can't we do that? Well, technology today will allow us to. That's what really cryptocurrency is about, probably, and exchanges, and there's an exchange of ideas coming to these places here and talking with you guys. It's not only an exchange of where we're going in terms of the currency, it's an exchange of ideas. And we've got to be open about it and not hold back. There's no way that the world can continue to evolve and with the speed it is with everything else we do. Development of ideas, technology, you know, we're just talking about the Tesla. Look what's happened there. You couldn't buy an electric car 10 years ago. Look what you can get now. You can put one in space, you know, good on Elon. What has taken so long for banking to evolve? Is it their requirement to hang on to all our money? I don't know. We all have our views, and I'm not going to bag the banks. They're our partners in this. We have to help them. We have to help each other go to the place that's going to find that balance where people will want to continue to trade with fiat. There's always going to be a place for cash and money and a few dimes, you know, even to make phone calls. But we have to move forward. And so again, it wasn't so much an epiphany, it's a natural progression. You know, we've gone from steam trains to diesel electric. We've gone from steam cars and now we're in electric and we can fly. And say, why can't money move forward? And we've just hung on to these old ways for so long. I think we're there. This is it. I mean, I'm not a great predictor, I don't know, but if I could say this year, 20, I think it's going to happen. You know, we've been here for so long in terms of the curve, it's about to go. Look at all these people. Everyone wants to do it, so it'll happen.
Perfect. Spoken well. Yeah.
Lovely. Good place to end there, I think.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Thanks so much, guys. Really appreciate your time, and good luck with the roadmap, and look forward to talking more about that in the future.
Absolutely.
Perfect.
Yeah, thanks for your time.
Thank you, guys. So I hope you guys enjoyed that episode with Cryptopia. They have a lot of things on the horizon.
Yeah, they're doing a whole lot of new stuff. I think we got lucky that they actually had their CEO there, the new CEO of 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I guess one of the distinctions I took away from that, and I think a lot of people who get angry at exchanges probably need to take away is that an exchange isn't a cryptocurrency, it's a business. And a lot of these exchanges started a couple years ago, whatever they were, especially the crypto to crypto exchanges, they started off as hobbies. And I know, listening to that interview there, this one definitely started as a hobby, because the two of the people that we interviewed used to be the bosses for the co-founders, and then it flipped over, which was a cool little story. So yeah. I think what Cryptopia is doing, and it's more than what can be said for other exchanges, especially crypto to crypto exchanges, is they're actually taking the time, hiring an experienced CEO who knows how to run a business to help them put the governance and the procedures and all that sort of stuff in place, so that Cryptopia runs like a business. And situations like what have happened recently with delays, with customer support and all that sort of stuff, start to actually get solved. And, you know, sometimes that takes a bit of patience, but nobody saw what was going to happen in November, December last year. When that blew out of proportion, obviously a lot of these exchanges that started more like hobbies had to scale up, and it's not an easy process.
Definitely. I think 2017 and going into 2018 has been the adolescence sort of the crypto industry. And Cryptopia, by appointing a new CEO, it's sort of them growing up and saying, okay, we're moving out of this as a experimental hobby phase, we need to be serious. We're dealing with banks here, we're dealing with regulators, we need to be seen to be experienced and can talk on a certain level. So, you know, full credit to those guys for stepping it up.
I think that for me just really raised my personal trust level for Cryptopia, and actually being able to talk to the people behind the scenes.
Absolutely. And just spending some time with the guys, even off camera, and having a chat to them, and you know, seeing where their intentions are behind the whole thing and where it's going. I think, definitely something to keep an eye on.
The other thing I also wanted to touch on was their version, the New Zealand dollar Tether, which will be interesting. So there's a lot of opinions around Tether and whether it's real or fake or whatever. And I mean, I guess that's up to people's opinion. And one thing I will say
there
about
is a
what
lack
Bitfinex,
of transparency there.
There's not a lot of transparency, but one thing I will sort of give kudos to Bitfinex for doing is, traditionally, and for the last how many years, none of the banks actually gave any exchanges accounts anyway.
Absolutely.
And so being able to operate a business that allows people to move between crypto and actual currency has been extremely difficult. So kudos to Bitfinex for actually doing something about it to offer some sort of product, despite how non-transparent it might be.
So it was actually, Bitfinex actually bought it off Brock Pierce and the guys who started it. So I think they bought it a couple of years ago. But I completely agree with you. It's certainly an innovation in the crypto space when it came along. And Tether is one of those things that sort of remains to be seen. I think what could be their biggest hurdle is how US regulators are going to try and attack Tether. As everyone knows, they were subpoenaed, and I mean, we're getting a little bit off topic talking about Tether, but
I guess the key point there is that has opened the door for things like TrueUSD and all that sort of stuff, but in particular here with what Cryptopia is doing with the New Zealand Tether. And if they can get that right, I think that's going to really bring the caliber of what Cryptopia has done thus far up by an order of magnitude. Because if people can then have something that is a trusted, stable coin, in effect, when I say trusted, it's, you know, centrally managed, et cetera, et cetera. But it's going to be a way for people to be able to trade in and out of a pair that's not as volatile
Definitely.
As the traditional pairs. So that's something to keep an eye out. I'm really excited to see where Cryptopia goes with the new products, the updates that they're going to make to the exchange, and seeing how the new CEO and the new governance procedures they put in place actually pay off in the long term.
Absolutely. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that episode. And as always, feel free to leave some comments. We'd love to hear your feedback and see what your thoughts are.
Thanks a lot, guys.